Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. It's a great week. We're wrapping up the church year. We celebrated yesterday the solemnity of Christ the King, the whole church's year. We go through the Paschal mystery of Jesus, his incarnation, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into glory. And celebrating Jesus as King and Lord is recognition that this is the culmination of his whole life and ministry. What was the Father's ultimate plan in sending his Son? Ultimately, was that his Son would return in human flesh into the presence of the Father, would enter glory and reign at his right hand, and the Father would give him his entire creation over which Jesus would rule and reign as King. Jesus preached when he came here, and he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus came to this earth. He came to become one of us, to a world that was under the dominion of darkness and the dominion of Satan. The kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the devil, was ruling and reigning. As the Apostle John said, the whole world is in the power of the devil. Jesus came to break the rule and the reign of the enemy and to establish the Father's kingdom here on earth, an outpost for the kingdom of God, to make it possible for human beings who are under the dominion of death, as the scripture says, and under the dominion of darkness and the dominion of Satan and Satan's rule, to come out from the darkness and into the light, to come out from the kingdom of the enemy into the kingdom of God. So Jesus is the Father's King. He's the one whom the Father has chosen. We said a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Psalm 2, which talks about how the rulers, the kings and the rulers of the world, set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. God the Father, his anointed is his Son, the Messiah, who he sends to rule over his kingdom. And the passage in the Psalm says, the kings and rulers of the earth, in setting themselves against the Lord and the anointed, they're conniving to work to throw off God's reign and God's rule. They said, let's break the chains. So they see God's commandments and God's authority and the recognition of God's authority as a kind of enslavement, and they want to make a break from it. Of course, this psalm goes on to say, the Lord looks and he laughs. He laughs at the plans of these creatures, you know, human beings who seek to throw off God's purpose and God's plans and the rule of the king. First of all, they got it all wrong. Their minds are deceived. They believe that somehow God's rule and reign is a kind of enslavement, that it dominates and humiliates and steals from humanity their capacity to be absolutely free and therefore absolutely happy at some level. That's a deception. And that's part of the reality of the fall and having a darkened mind, is we don't see God as God is. We don't see God in his goodness and his mercy. He's all powerful, but he's all loving. He's all merciful. And then he's actually, in amazing way, scripture says, he's tender, he's gentle, he's kind, he's patient, he's merciful. And his plans for us, as scripture says, are for good and not for woe. But the kingdom of this world stands in resistance to the kingdom of God. So Jesus came to establish it. And of course, he broke the power of the dominion of darkness through his life and ultimately in his preaching, his signs and wonders, but ultimately his death on the cross, where he became a sacrifice for sin. And he broke the devil's back and broke the power, the whole regime of power that's under the dominion of the devil through the blood of Jesus, because he broke the power of sin and sin over us, which produces death and darkness. So humanity's trapped in all of that. Jesus became one of us to deal with that problem, the problems of sin and death, and he broke through it into a new creation. The Father raised him from the dead, and the new thing God is doing. The real future of the human race isn't to be on Mars or other planets, ultimately, and to, in fear, sort of create our own way and our own survival. The ultimate future of the human race is to become part of the new creation, is to become part of that thing that God has done in his Son, Jesus. And what he's done is he's taken human flesh through death into eternal life. Christianity is about new life, and that new life is in a person. It's a life that's eternal. It's God's life united to human flesh in the person of Jesus, which is the beginning of what's meant to happen to all the human race. That is, everyone who says yes to Jesus receives this gift of eternal life that Jesus himself said the Father gave him the authority to give to whomever he desires this life that's in him. It's his to give. Jesus is literally the fountain of eternal life and the source of the new creation and the new thing God is doing. So the church recognizes that in the solemnity, the celebration of the majesty and kingship of Jesus, his ultimate victory over all the powers that are set against the Father and against the Father's economy and plan and purpose for us. So Jesus is King and Lord of all. And there's some beautiful passages that the church gave us yesterday at Mass, one from Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. It reads like this: Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. I think I touched on this last week a bit too. He said, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, who has made us into a kingdom, priests for his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he's coming amid the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will lament him. Yes, amen. Another one of these places, as I mentioned last week, where you see the titles of Jesus. They reveal a lot about this complex person, Jesus of Nazareth. He's, first of all, the faithful witness. You know, every one of us was made in the image and likeness of God, and ultimately Adam and Eve, our first parents, were meant to be faithful to what God made them to be and bear witness to God's goodness and to bear witness to God's plan in their life. They were seduced by the enemy and fell into sin and became slaves, slaves to sin and death, and ended up serving the kingdom of darkness rather than the kingdom of light. So they didn't bear witness to the truth about God. So here's Jesus. Jesus came as the faithful Son. He was faithful because he obeyed the Father. He did exactly what the Father called him to do, which was literally to come and to lay down his life and to become a sacrifice for sin. And he bore witness to the fundamental truth that everything has come from the Father and that God is not just a distant, impersonal force or creator, that he's actually a Father. He's the Father of all things and that he's good. And Jesus bore witness to the fact that he's good. Jesus said, to see me is to see the Father. And we saw in Jesus an amazing love, unconditional love, goodness, mercy, kindness, power. All was present in the person of Jesus, and he bore witness to the truth that God is faithful. And that faithfulness was ultimately revealed in Jesus having to obey the Father and going to the cross of Calvary. When those who stood before Jesus crucified said, now where is your God? They assumed Jesus was a failure, that his idea that God was a Father and was trustworthy and loving, that was a delusion, that Jesus in some way was a madman, and he was a failed Messiah. But Jesus bore witness because he followed the Father's commands all the way to Calvary, to the point where he experienced total abandonment, as well as unspeakable suffering and humiliation. But he trusted the Father. And he said, not my will, but yours be done. He bore witness that God is good, that God is true, and he bore witness to us, each one of us. What does a child of God look like? How is a human being meant to live? To be faithful to God and to be willing to literally give up our whole life in this world, to live a life in obedience to God. That's sanity, actually. Jesus is communicating to us that this is the wisest, most perfect way anybody can live, to offer up their lives to God in total obedience. And of course, we know for Jesus, his love language and what he understood about love is that love is expressed through obedience to God's commands. It's not just an emotion or a feeling or a sentiment. It is literally expressed in obedience and surrender to God. So he's the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. He was raised. He's the firstborn of this new creation. He passed from death to life. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. And this is something I want to talk about throughout the week more and more, just to spend this week talking about the majesty and the glory and the beauty and the power of Jesus. The kings of the earth connive against the Lord and the Lord's rule, but Psalm 2 says that God said, I have set my king on his throne. He's my son. He's won the victory. All will be his forever. The passage goes on, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. So we acknowledge that Jesus loves us. Our king is filled with love. He's come to literally set up a kingdom that is governed and is ruled and is lived in love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. God is love. We were made for love. We don't yet know, many of us, that fundamental truth that Jesus bore witness to, that success for a human being is defined by love. It's not defined by how big a buildings I can create, how much money's in my bank account, how many people consider me famous, how many books are written about me, where I live. None of that ultimately matters with any significance in the overall plan of what defines success for a human being. Success is really found here in the person of Jesus, who showed us what really matters. And the thing that matters most in life is ultimately the great commandment. It's the great commandment because it's the first commandment, and it's the first commandment because it's the most important commandment, and it's the most important because it's calling us to live the way we were created to live, and to give to God what belongs to God, and to come into the fullness of what it means to be human. A successful life is to become what we were meant to be to the fullest. And what does that mean? That we're called to share in the love between the Father and the Son. We were made by love, and we were made for love. And ultimately, it's the love, the kind of love that's communicated in Jesus laying down his life for us in obedience to the Father. It's that love that our King is showing us is what gets crowned ultimately for all eternity. Everyone might know you in this world because of fame and power and influence, but you might die without the kind of love that's in the heart of Jesus Christ. You haven't said yes to it. Maybe you said, my will be done, not God's will be done. You've used people rather than actually serving and loving people the way Christ did. And the world honors you, but you end up eternally separated from God in hell forever. But there might be someone right in your neighborhood, someone in your town or village, might be one of the poorest people in the entire city, who in this world is last, and no one notices. They're not getting any kind of recognition or reward. God's eye is upon them. And God's delighted in them because his or her love is great. Because they've said yes to God, they've lived with the first commandment being first in their life. They've loved God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and yielded to the grace of the Holy Spirit that was leading them to live transformed life. And they weren't fooled and deceived by, quote unquote, what matters in this world, but they lived for the King and his kingdom. And they will be crowned eternally and share in everything that belongs to the King. Let's hear that same call in each one of our lives, friends, and say yes to it. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.